Hello, friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Before we take you to your favorite Sports History Network show, just want to tell you a little bit about some merch that you can pick up that represents your favorite SHN podcast. So far, there's t-shirts, coffee mugs, and even books from some of the authors that do podcasts right here on SHN. Who could buy something better than that than have the history right from the gentleman that you hear talking about it? But we also are adding things each and every day. And where's that store, may you ask? Well, it's at SportsHistoryNetwork.com. Up at the top, there is the SHN merch button. Click on that. It'll take you right to the store, and you can be representing your favorite podcast and show the world that, hey, on the swag that I'm using, it's the headquarters of Sports Yesteryear, Sports History Network, and my favorite podcaster, the Sports History Network store. Shop there today. Today in your football history headlines, we talk about a major evolution in offensive communication, and we'll also talk about the birthdays of your Hall of Fame legends, all coming up in just a moment. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're podcasting from the Pigpen in Western Pennsylvania to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome once again to your football history headlines for this March 4th edition of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch. And today, we have some great things to talk about, some birthdays, and some great innovations. But before we do that, I want to tell you about my partners on the SportsHistoryNetwork.com. We have some real talented players there. We have, you know, you've heard from Warren Rogan and Jeremy McFarlane and Oz Davis. Aaron Harris is going to be coming up in some podcasts coming up, and Dana Augester, Arnie Chapman, the founder of the Sports History Network, Joe Ziemba, Joe Zagorski, just a multitude. There's so many names, I'm forgetting some, but you really got to check it out because there is so much history, and we have more and more podcasters coming on each and every day. If you are interested in podcasting or just talking about sports history of any sport, any place around the world, any time frame, any era, please go to sportshistorynetwork.com. There's a space there where you can show your interest in it and talk to somebody, probably Arnie Chapman, and he can get you a guide in the right place and maybe bring you onto the Sports History Network to talk about your favorite passion of sports. Now, speaking of sports, let's get to the gridiron and your football history headlines for March 4th. And we'll start off in 1956. Inventors working on the Cleveland Browns used the first radio transmitter in a quarterback's helmet. John Campbell and George Sarlis, a couple of inventors from Ohio, approached Cleveland's head coach Paul Brown, who was always up for being on the cutting edge of innovation, with an idea. The two inventors had developed a radio transmission system that they felt could be installed inside of a football helmet safely to improve communication with the sideline. Brown loved the idea. He asked the two men to help develop the gadget in secrecy. According to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the radio was carefully mounted into a helmet, and using the seclusion of a wooded area behind Campbell's home, the pair proceeded to test the unit. Sarlis retreated into the woods with the helmet. The signal became weak, and the communication was broke off. When Sarlis didn't return, Campbell set out to find his partner. Soon after, he spotted Sarlis talking with a police officer who had intercepted the signal. It was very fortunate for Sarlis and Campbell that the officer was a Browns fan and agreed to keep the discovery under wraps. It's this test on this day that we believe took place on March 4th, 1956. Nonetheless, the pair changed the frequency on the unit. The helmet was first used by quarterback George Raderman in a preseason exhibition game against Detroit. The Lions sideline became suspicious during the game when they didn't see the Browns shuttling linemen in and out of the game like they normally do, carrying the plays, you know, so famous what Paul Brown did. He was the one that invented that system. So they sent a scout who discovered a transmitter on a light pole behind the Cleveland bench. The Browns were able to use the radio helmet for three more games, but then NFL Commissioner Burt Bell stepped in and banned the device. In 1985, John Campbell donated the innovative helmet to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, where it's currently on display. The device was patented by Sarlis on September 15th, 1959, and you can check out that story on the pigskindispatch.com under the September 15th history, the football history headlines. And we also have a podcast on it. You can listen to that one, too. But you know, just what an innovation. And for Paul Brown, a great innovator, but these two gentlemen, John Campbell and George Sarlis, way ahead of their time, because it was almost 40 years later that the NFL adopted the quarterback having a receiver in his helmet so that the sidelines and the booths now can communicate. And we see that quite often in professional football games and some of the other levels. That's years and decades ahead of their time, and brilliant, and we're glad they do. And all the guys with the green dots and on their football helmets in the NFL are glad they do, too. Now, I want you to hear a couple words from one of my partners that we talked about earlier on the Sports History Network.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday. So come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
I highly recommend you check out Mark Mortier's Yesterday Sports podcast, because it is just a real grab bag of sports. It's something different all the time. There's football, there's weightlifting, there's baseball. He's got a little bit of everything, and it's really exciting. He really does a great job, has some great insights into his perspective of those sports, and really enjoyable. So make sure you check out Mark on thesportshistorynetwork.com. Now, let's get to your birthdays of Hall of Famers for this March 4th. And we'll start off in the year 1964, Frewsburg, New York. The stud linebacker of the Penn State Nittany Lions from 1983 through 1986, Shane Conlon, was born. Shane, according to the NFF's bio on him, was a 1986 consensus first-team All-American and a finalist for the Butkus Award. Conlon recorded 8 tackles and 2 interceptions in the 1987 Fiesta Bowl over Miami of Florida to give Penn State the national title. In 2 different seasons, Shane led the Penn State defense in tackles, and he finished off his collegiate career ranked 2nd on the Lions' all-time tackles list with 274, and his 183 solo tackles still ranked 3rd in school history. The National Football Foundation selected the name of Shane Conlon for entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2014. After graduation, Shane became the 8th overall pick by the Buffalo Bills in the 1987 NFL Draft. The linebacker played 6 seasons with the Bills and 3 for the Los Angeles / St. Louis Rams before retiring after the 1995 season. Conlon was a 1987 Rookie of the Year and a 3-time Pro Bowl and All-Pro selection, and played in 3 straight Super Bowls with the Buffalo Bills. March 4th, 1971, Rochester, New York. The standout running back of the 1990-92 Ithaca College, Jeff Whitman, arrived into this life. The footballfoundation.org website states that Jeff earned first-team All-America status 3 times with the Bombers. Jeff led his Ithaca Bombers team to the Division III national title in 1991 and subsequently named as the MVP of the Stag Bowl after punching in 3 touchdowns in the contest. The NFF voters chose Jeff Whitman to receive the honor of entrance into the College Football Hall of Fame in 2013. He is only the 2nd person from the school to have made it into the Hall of Fame, the other being head coach Jim Butterfield. Once again, we thank you very much for spending your time with us, and we enjoy having you here, and we're sure glad that you join us each and every day, because this podcast is on every single day. We talk about gridiron history 365 days a year, 366 in leap year, and we just love the game that much, and we try to bring you some good, positive football vibes and history every single day. So we're glad to have you, and we want you to come back every day. So to do that real easily, you can subscribe to this podcast, and it'll automatically show up in your podcast downloads. Or you can email us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'll put you on our email list. I send an email out personally every single morning, and it has the podcast and all the latest articles and blog posts that are on pigskindispatch.com. Another way you can go to sportshistorynetwork.com, and you can see this podcast as well as, umpteen other podcasts. I can't keep track of them. There's so many, and they're all really good. It's a lot of great listening each and every day on the Sports History Network, including this podcast. So make sure you check that out. And until tomorrow, everybody, have a great gridiron day. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Do you wish you knew more about the 100 seasons of the NFL? You're in luck because you found the Football History Dude podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. From the founding of the league in an auto showroom, all the way to what it is today, America's favorite sport and a behemoth of an industry. My name is Ernie Chapman. Football is my passion, and I want you to come along with me each week to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board my DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcasts. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.